Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
Welcome to Refuge Huntington Beach's Men's Prayer Breakfast. Today's guest is Pastor David Zamora. He'll be talking about getting armed because we're in a war that doesn't stop, taken from 1 Peter chapter 4. Now let's meet Pastor David and receive from the Holy Spirit through his teaching.
Father, thank you for our position in life, our station, Lord, where you've stationed us in life. And Father, may we be men, truly men as you envision men, Father God. And so, Lord, we just open our hearts to the ministry of your word, the scriptures, the Holy Bible, Father. Thank you for giving us a roadmap through life. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit lives in us, transforms us, and changes us. Thank you, Father. I pray your blessing upon David today, Lord, as he brings your word in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Bless the brother before you sit down. And hey, thank Vic for helping out this morning and playing. Thank you, Vic. Thanks, man. Good job. And let's welcome Pastor David. David Zamora. From Living Way Christian Fellowship in Fontana. David, how long has the church been going there? Tell us a little bit about the ministry and introduce your pack of men to us. And welcome to Refuge, brother. Thank you. It's good to have you here. Thank you.
It's good to be here with you guys. And our fellowship is actually became a official church or congregation rather in 2008, but we had a Bible study group at about 2005. And the Bible study group obviously kind of just really turned into a church. And then on a Sunday morning I was teaching, and the Lord just told me to shepherd the flock. So I realized that day that the Lord had called me into the ministry and stepped out in faith, and God's really blessed the work there in Fontana. And so I brought a couple of brothers, and they're here, and we loaded up one of the vans. We drove out here this morning, and so we're out here. And well, as you guys have been hearing, my name's David Zamora, and the Lord has done an amazing work. Actually, I just want to share this really brief before I get into the study. That way you guys can kind of have a sense of my background. I wasn't always a Christian in the sense of walking with the Lord faithfully now for about 13 years. And it's been just a radical walk, had a radical conversion. And as you could tell, you know, you see the tattoos. I'm not one of those Christians, though I'm not opposed to it, that got tattoos after they got saved. These are all my BC days tattoos. And, you know, ended up in the California prison system. And behind a drug addiction that I had, and started using drugs at a very young age. Got strung out by the time I was 13 years old. I was already shooting up. I slammed heroin for about 7 years. I did a good run. And then my last prison term, I was in prison, and the Lord used a gentleman who I never thought in my wildest dreams that would ever in any way would help me find my way to the Lord. I weighed less than 100 pounds. I was strung out. I was bad. All of my crimes were a result because of my drug addiction. If you guys are familiar with the state of California, the three strikes law, I picked up my second strike my last prison term. And so as I'm here today, I am a three strike candidate. I mean, if I get popped again, they go back to my old prison record or my own criminal record, and I can easily get 25 years to life in prison. So that kind of was a wake-up call, but was more of a wake-up call was a gentleman begin to tell me about the Lord. My mom used to always, I got testimonies after testimonies before that I didn't realize at the time, but I knew God was calling me. And I realize it now that after I've been saved for a number of years, man, Lord, you've had your hand on me even when I was unfaithful, even when I wasn't a believer, because he really did. I should be as Pastor Bill was saying here earlier that some of us shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. I should be serving at least 12 years into, or actually 14 years, I should be into a 40-year-to-life sentence. And by the grace of God, I'm here. And my mom told me, you're not going to do life in prison. And I told her why, and she says, because when you were a small kid, I took you to an old school tent revival, and they prayed for you, and that evangelist said your son was going to preach the gospel. She goes, so, yeah. Yeah, so one of the amazing things about that testimony is that he also told my mom that it's going to look like for a number of years that this is not going to happen, but you hold fast to the word of the Lord tonight. And you want to know what? When I was 18 years old fighting this 40-year-to-life sentence about to go to trial, that's what my mom told me. She goes, God spoke that word to me, and I believe it. You're going to be pastoring a church. I remember I got so upset with her. I thought she got me an attorney. She didn't, because she's like, you're not going to do life. And so anyways, I was excited. And then when she told me Jesus, I was like, I don't want your Jesus. I don't need your Jesus. It was crazy. And about a month later, selecting the jury and everything, I ended up getting acquitted on the four counts of attempted murder. Still had to go to prison behind some of the other charges that surrounded that whole entire crime. But anyways, I'm not doing life in prison. I'm here today in Huntington Beach, Calvary Chapel, speaking at a men's breakfast. Think about that. So this gentleman begins to tell me about the Lord when I was in prison. And this is what he said. He was constantly just talking to me about Jesus. And this is what he said. I used to tell him things like, dude, you sound like my mom. I didn't say dude. You know, I used to talk different. Hey, Holmes, you know, hey, Holmes, hey, you know. Anyways. And I says, you sound like my mom. You guys are always talking about Jesus. And he just said, well, I'm not going to tell you no more. He'd been talking to me for months. And I said, good. And I says, better for me, you know. And anyways, he just says, but if you were to get serious, if there was one thing that you would like God to deliver you from, at the time I didn't understand the word deliver, and I told him, what do you mean by deliver? He says, if you would want God to take something from you, what would that be? But the first time in my life I got serious, I said, this drug addiction. I said, I'm tired of being a heroin addict. I knew that the second I got out, I would be right back in. That's just the way it was for me. And check this out. He just goes, if God were to take that from you, would you serve him? I told him this. I go, dude, if you took it from me, I would serve you. And he says, and what do you got to lose? I remember that conversation didn't come out of my head. Guys, listen, I was brought up in a hyper-charismatic Pentecostal church. I mean, all the wild stuff that went on in a service. That's what I was brought up in as a kid. So my view of church was always weird. It was weird. It was just like the people are crazy. You know, they're crazy for Jesus. They do weird stuff. But, I didn't know. That was just my understanding of church. And I remember I was just sitting there and just thinking, man, this guy, you know, was really serious about his. So I just said this. This was my prayer, guys. God, if you're the God of the Bible, if you're the God that this man says you are, if you're the God that my mom says you are, then take this drug addiction from me. And if you do, I'll give you the rest of my life. And if you don't, I don't need you in my life, and I'll die a dope fiend. Guys, after I prayed that prayer, I've never touched another needle since. No withdrawals, completely delivered. So, I'm still in prison, though. You don't go to church in prison, okay? So the first thought that came to my mind was, man, I got to be a Christian now. How do I do it in here? And you know what? By God's grace, you know, the Lord, I had a couple of months to go home, and the Lord really kept me from getting in any more trouble in there. When I got out of prison, I made it a point to just start serving the Lord, walking with the Lord. My first year of trying to serve God and be out of prison was very difficult, very hard, went through a lot of things. But about 13, almost 14 years now, about a little over 13 years ago, I just told who then was my fiance, my wife now, I told her, I says, babe, look, the only way this is going to work is if we both surrender our lives to Christ and we just go full force. Because what's interesting is the Lord brought this woman back into my life, and it's true, he did. Because I met my wife in a dope house when she was 15 years old, and her dad had just died of a heroin overdose, and that's where I met her, in a drug house. And I had been on the street since I was 12, and I had met her, and we lost contact, and then she wrote me a letter in prison, and I'm on the phone with my mom, and I'm telling mom, you know, about this radical prayer and all this stuff that happened, and they're giving me the letter, and so I'm on the phone with my mom. They're like, Zamora, you know, you got mail? And so I grab this, and I'm reading the letter while I'm on the phone with my mom, and it's like, hey, stranger, you know, those kind of letters, you know, hey, baby, how you doing? You know, my mom's like, no, you don't need no women right now, you're doing good, you know, and this... And so anyways, I call the number because they had a number there. So I call it, and it was who my wife is now. And I'm talking to her, and she says, there's something different about you. And I didn't want to tell her that, like, I prayed and something happened. Because when she met me, I was a thug. I was a dope fiend. I thought that's what she liked. And so she says, what's wrong with you? And I just says, you know what? I think I'm a Christian. She stayed quiet. She stayed quiet and she says, I just got saved 3 months ago at Calvary Chapel Diamond Bar. So she takes me to Rawls Church. This is hilarious. I was at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater a couple of years ago, and I'm talking to Rawl back there. I'm like, dude, I got to tell you a story. My first church I went to, I had to present my cutoff khakis on, socks pulled up all the way to my waist. You know how the homies wear them all the way up. So anyways, I go to this church service, worship everything. I'm sitting there, and then we walk out, and she says, so how did you like it? I said, you know, this place, these were my exact words, it sucks here, man. It's dead. Let me take you to one of my churches. So Sunday we went to the Greater Ebenezer. No, just kidding. We went to a radical church, and they came out with flags during the worship and everything. And she's freaking out, and people are just going off in tongues. And this is the kind of stuff that I grew up in as a kid. I didn't know no better, right? They're dancing around, and she's looking like, what is this? I'm like, it's church. They got the Holy Ghost here. That's what that dude over there needs, some of that Holy Ghost. So you need to take some of this over there, you know? And so anyways, to make a long story short, we're a part of Calvary Chapel now. And my wife, you know what she tells me? I was right all along. That's what she says. So I told Rawl the story, and all he says, well, that's great, man. That's great. You know, so it was cool. It was cool. But that is somewhat of this testimony. In a nutshell, me and my wife, God's just been doing some amazing things. And the Lord's really just been working in our lives. And I want to encourage you that maybe have children or brothers or sisters or siblings or friends that struggle and probably have this time, you know, because we hear a lot of the testimonies of the Calvary pastors, you know, Jesus people movement. They were hippies. You know, they did these drugs. They experimented. See, I didn't experiment with drugs. I was a dope fiend. You know, we didn't go and we didn't hang out and get high just to get high. I mean, literally, I was doing armed robberies, strong arm robberies, doing what I had to do for my addiction. I was a dope fiend. That's what I was. And that's what kept me going in and out of the system. And so when I hear of these drug stories, it's like, it's cool, but I didn't experiment with it. It was the only way I could live. And whatever I had to do to get it, I did it. And by the grace of God, the Lord just really called me. I truly do believe that God said, David, it's time for you now to come out of darkness, step into this marvelous light, because I'm going to use you. And I'll tell you guys what, I was happy with just cleaning toilets. I would have never thought in my wildest dreams, if you would have told me when I was in prison, when I was up in Tehachapi on a level 3 yard, if you would have told me that I was going to be at Huntington Beach Calvary Chapel talking to a group of men in the morning, I would have laughed in your face. And to think now that the Lord has taken the ministry of what we're doing all the way to South Africa, to Johannesburg, Haiti, Port-au-Prince, I mean, I trip out. I'm just like, God, what are we doing out here? And the Lord is like, preaching the gospel. That's it. Preaching the gospel. So open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. Your attention, please. In verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You know, I don't like to share my testimony. I call it a bragamony in that sense. I just like to get into the word, but sometimes I like to give just a little bit of a background. So as you're listening to the word of God, you know, it's kind of like, wow, the Lord's really done a radical transformation in this young man's life. And it's all the Lord. All glory goes to the Lord. As I was praying as to think of what to be sharing on, one of the brothers had emailed me and says, hey, do you got a text like way in advance? I normally don't have it ready until right before I go. And so last night as I was kind of getting things together at about 5 in the evening, 6 in the evening, all of a sudden my wife just like interrupts me and just says, hey, I need you to go get some plants at Home Depot. And it's like, okay. And I was out there till about 9:30 last night planting plants out in my backyard. And she was just watching. No, just kidding. She was helping. But I'm sitting there and I keep looking at her. I'm like, I got to get in. I got to read. And she's like, I know, but just put that one right there and that one there. And you're a good husband. And praise God. I thank him for you. You know, it was hilarious, you know. But anyways, you know, as I was planting plants and as I was, you know, putting these red wood chips, my fingers are all dyed red from grabbing this stuff. And I started thinking, and the challenge was, for my heart, for me, and I believe the challenge is today, and I think that the songs really pointed to that, and just the prayers that have been prayed so far as we come up, really is this, is casting aside these things that really hinder us from growing. And if there's a man here this morning that you think you've arrived, That's a big mistake. We are constantly being shaped and patterned into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. See, he's not done with us. It doesn't matter the age. It's something that I come to find out. It doesn't matter how old you are. Guys, listen, God's perfect order all the way back in Genesis 1:26, when he created man, he created him perfect. But man chose to sin. Man chose to fall away, and he did. Indeed, he did. But God's original plan for man is still the passion of God's heart. And so God now takes us, as we respond to Christ, God now takes us, and he is working in us, as Paul told the Philippians, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God's working in us, and he's doing this work inside of us. Why? Because the work that God is doing, the Bible says he has begun a good work, was surely completed unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he doing? He's shaping you back into that perfect image that he had for man in the beginning. So right now, listen, guys, every single one of you, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are God's work in progress. The Bible says we're his poema. Ephesians, right? Chapter 2. We're his workmanship. We're his poema. And God's end state for you, you might say, well, I'm 60, I'm 70, you know, I'm older now. Listen, I'm 20, I'm 30, I still got a lot of years ahead of me. Listen, God is working in you because the end result that God has for you is for you to look just like Jesus. That's it. That's the end result. He wants to take you. Guys, that blows me away because I look nothing like Jesus. Amen? You guys are like, yeah, he didn't have tattoos, bro. Well, you want to know what? These are scars that remind me of my past. My Lord has scars. And John saw those scars in his vision there in Revelation 5. But Peter here is challenging the church. He's challenging the believer in the sense of suffering for Christ. We are living in some very critical times. I know that we have a good understanding of eschatology. We have a good understanding of prophecy. I know that all of us men here, if you attend here or any other Calvary chapel, and not to promote Calvary, but I just truly do believe that they're just rightly dividing the word in these last days right now and making the church very aware that, listen, there's no time to slack off. You can never get comfortable. Show me in Scripture 843,000 words, and not one of them says, you got some time to relax. There's no relaxed time. It's chop, chop. That's what it is. Peter said here, listen, he says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself. The word here, arm, literally means to equip as an instrument of war. Why? Because there is a battle. Even right now, you might say, well, I don't feel like I'm in a battle. Everything's cool, man. I mean, hey, my day is a day-to-day thing. You know, I get up in the morning. This is what I do. Listen, that is your day-to-day and how you're looking at life from your own perspective. But God's perspective is totally different. Do you not know that there is a battle for your soul? Even now that you're saved, there's still a radical war taking place. You see, where I come from, my entire life in the past was always dictated by war. We were at war with the guys down the street. We were at war with the next city. We'd go to prison. We were at war in prison. It was that constant thing. So when I got saved and the Bible started saying it's a spiritual warfare, I'm like, I know war. I know what it's like. You can't let the enemy overtake you. You can't let him come in. Well, as I began to look at it this way, it wasn't the war that I thought it was. You see, you're never pulled away by temptation in the world because you're in temptation. But here in our Christian walk, this temptation, the trials, the adversities that we face, they never stop. I remember talking to a gentleman, a pastor who had been married 50-some years, and this guy was in his 70s already. And one of the things he came up to me and he told me, this guy was a pastor, and he told me this. He says, Dave, can you pray for me? And I said, what? He says, why? I says, why? And he just says, you know, I've been in the ministry 35 years, he says, and I still struggle with impure thoughts. I'm like, dude, you're 70-some years old, bro. Okay. And I just prayed, and I walked away from that, and I said to myself, Lord, it never stops. Yours might not be that. It might be something else, anger, pride. I mean, we name some of these things here. Why? Because these are the common things, guys, that us men deal with. And let me see, in the sense of pride, a lot of times people think, well, I'm not prideful. I'm not this. Listen, pride is what stumbles a man more than anything. The Bible says the very same thing that got Satan kicked out of heaven. The Bible warns us for us not to fall in this same thing. So Christ suffered, listen, And so we are to arm ourselves with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What is it talking about here? It's not talking about sinless perfection. It's not talking about that one day you can come to a point where you don't sin. What it's talking about is, listen, if you have suffered and you look at the suffering of Christ as an encouragement to you. In other words, when I've gone through things and I feel like I'm really going through it and nobody understands, and I'm just like, man, look, and I see everybody happy, but this is tough for me. This is tough for me. It's hard. And sometimes we can get bitter. Sometimes we can start to think like, man, nobody cares. That's just the enemy. The best thing for you to do when you find yourself going through something or you're praying, whatever the case might be, listen, man, the best thing we can do, I encourage you, start to read the Passion Week of Jesus. Start to read when he was taken before Pontius Pilate. Start to read when he now was being beaten for us. And your problem, your struggle, your temptation, your trial will begin to grow dim. And that which Christ has suffered will begin to be that light that shines forth in your life. And guess what? You find yourself overcoming. I've overcome some things in 13 years. How many of us here have overcome some things, right? There's some things you've overcome. And why? Because the help of the Lord is there with us. And he directs us and he leads us and he guides us. But it's that same mind. Hey, if Jesus endured through the suffering, so can I. Because, let me tell you something, God will never ask you to do what he hasn't already done first. He says, love your neighbor. That's because he first loved you. He says, forgive. That's because he's forgiven you. It's saying here, listen, have the same mindset of enduring through suffering. Listen, because Jesus endured. The Bible says in Philippians that he was obedient even to the point of death, the death of the cross. Talk about complete obedience and suffering. It's like sometimes people in their mind, I don't know, as I teach the word of God, sometimes I think, do people really get it when we say Jesus suffered for our sins? It's like you guys think of Jesus more as God, and yes, that is true, but the Bible says that he was human also. When was the last time you got smacked in the face hard by someone? When was the last time you had your beard ripped out from your face? When was the last time you got hit upside the top of the head with a reed, with a stick, and smacked upside the head? When was the last time that ever happened to you? Because I'll tell you what, we don't put ourselves in positions for that stuff to happen to us because it's like that would hurt. Jesus hurt. He was a man. He didn't have these superpowers in him that, well, I have no pain. No, he felt every single blow. So when you're in this time of being tempted and challenged and you're feeling every single blow of temptation, remember Jesus felt him first. He felt him first. And notice what he says here. Have this same mind. When a person does overcome and they do get through, guess what? It makes it that much more easier for you to go through the next one. Because you've already seen the hand of God move and work in your life and take you through. What I always tell people is this. When they're going through trials, this is what I tell them. I say, look, at all this is going to do here is when you overcome this one, it's just preparing you for the next one. I've been walking with the Lord 13 years. 13 years faithfully to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, that has been the pattern for 13 years in my life, in my marriage, in my wife's life. And God has given us this grace. God has given us this strength that I'll tell you what, I never even knew existed. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, there has been this strength that God gives every single believer to endure. Verse 2 says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You see, you can title this, if you want, Living for Christ in These Last Days, because I think that there should be more messages and more challenges in the sense of how we're to live for Christ. I believe that we're to have an end-time attitude about things. That there should be that dynamic of us thinking, listen, this isn't going to last forever. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready not only that our hearts are ready to go with the Lord, but we need to be ready also to take others with us. We need to be ready. We need to be above reproach in how we are, guys. Because listen, I know some of you. Let me ask you this question. It's going to be a dumb question, but let me ask you this question. How many of you have unsaved family members that you would love to see come to Christ before Christ comes? Raise your hands. All of us here do. All of us here do. And listen, guys, that's why we're to be ready. That's why we're to arm ourselves this way. That's why we're to be equipped this way. Why? Because we know that there are still many that need to hear of the Lord. He says here, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles." I love this. We just talked about that today. We just said that earlier. Our past. We're done with it. You know, I like to minister to guys because I tell them, listen, you don't need to walk that way, talk that way, do those things no more. You see, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, it gives us a clear example of what the new man is. I love what verse 1 says of Colossians chapter 3. It says, "If then you've been raised with Christ." You see, the question is, if you've been raised. Well, guess what? If you claim to be a Christian here today, then you've been raised with Christ. Then he begins to talk about putting on this new man. Because there is a change of direction. There's a change of heart. Because God's in the business of doing some heart transplants. Can I get a witness? Amen. And truly, he is. And so there is that, having spent enough time, there needs to be this attitude. And basically, we're called to be committed and to not look back. I mean, Jesus said it very clearly in Luke 9, verse 62. He says, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is what? Not fit." That's a pretty heavy verse here. That's a pretty heavy verse. Let me tell you why. Because the way they used to plow these fields in that day, well, listen, they didn't have all this technology like we have today when we're doing the things that we're doing out there. But listen, they would begin to plow this field, and they would use like trees as markers. They would use something at the end of this field as a marker, and they would keep their eyes on it, and they would stir their animals there as they're plowing this field. And listen, and if they were to even look back, they wouldn't know where to stir. How can you steer them and then be looking back? It doesn't work. You're not. What's going to happen is you're going to miss that mark. You're going to go off. You're going to deviate from it. That's why Jesus said, don't look back. It's only one way to look. And we say, yeah, look unto Jesus. But I like to say, look up. Because Jesus said, when you see all the things, guys, listen, and those are the things that are happening today. He says, when you see all these things taking place, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Looking up. And so, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked. Notice past tense, the word there, walked, in lewdness. You see, the word here, lewdness, really means that a person who lives without any self or any sense of moral restraint. Just wild. And we see that a lot. But there are some Christians, man, that live kind of on the wild side. They kind of pride themselves in that. They want to walk that little line where it's just like you're borderline crazy and borderline saved. And then they say, well, you got to be crazy in order to be saved. No, you got to be above reproach. You got to love God. You got to honor his word. You should never think that you can get up. Listen, guys, you should never think that you can get up in the morning and not get in God's word. The proverb says, "I love those who love me. They that seek me early shall find me." There's nothing like a bunch of men being here on a Saturday morning. You could be cutting your grass. You know, I don't know. I don't know how it is out here, Huntington Beach. I mean, some of you are like, no, I got a gardener for that. You know, well, back where I come from, I got to cut the grass. So I could be doing that. But listen, you're here. You could be doing something else, but you're here. Listen, do you guys not know that there is a blessing that follows by coming here this morning? As the Lord looks upon us and he makes his face to shine upon us, and what is he doing? He's saying, here are men that really want more of me. You see, the cry of our heart should be more of you and less of me, more of you and less of me. Why? Because all of us in here, nobody has to tell you how you really are. You know how you really are. That's why it's a surprise to you when somebody comes to you and they say, man, you're growing. And you're just like, yeah, God's good. But in your mind, you're like, wow, what do they see that I don't see? Really? You know, especially when your wife tells you, that's crazy. You're just like, is the Lord coming back or what? You know, because we know ourselves. Guys, that's why knowing that, we laugh and we say it jokingly, but knowing that, listen, we know that it is evident that Christ is coming back and our hearts need to be conformed to his word. Our stepping, our rhythm, the way we're going to go should be the way of the cross, period. That's where we should be going. Jesus made it very clear. He says, deal with these things. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. What did he say? If your eye causes you to sin, he says, pluck it out. Deal with it radically. Deal with it in a way, guys, listen, that you sacrifice We prayed these things right now, pride and unforgiveness and all these things. Listen, if that's something you struggle with, lust, you know what I'm finding more and more today is that, yeah, not only men, but women also struggling with this lust, and they're making some of the most horrible decisions. And I think there's a greater problem with pornography in the church than there is outside of the church. There's a lot of easy access to it. You don't got to go hide now. No, or you can be in your car and flip it on your phone. And then not think much. And your problem might not be that. It might be something else. But at any rate, listen. God's faithful. God's faithful. He says there, the Bible says in the book of the prophet Isaiah, that when the enemy comes against us like a flood, the promise of the Lord is that he will raise up a standard. What a hope we have in Christ. Colossians 1:26 says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This morning, listen, we have hope. I look around and I see men that have hope. And yes, we got to talk about these things. We got to address these things. We got to challenge these things. But listen, we do have a hope. And this is what he says. We walked in this lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you, people making fun of you. I've been made fun of a lot. You're a Christian, man? Look at you. You know, I'm the second convicted felon in the state of California to be a state parole chaplain. I'm the first convicted felon to go through Ben Clark Sheriff's Academy and graduate their chaplaincy program. And when I see guys that I was in prison with, when I go do the chaplaincy thing, and they fill a room of about 60 parolees that get out, and I go and talk to these parolees and encourage, these are guys that I was in prison with playing handball with. And they're looking at me, and the first thing they say is, they're like, man, dude, you're all fat now. Look at you. I don't think I am. And they're just like, can you still play handball? Yeah, I could still sling it. Come on, man. I'll, you know, run you in the dirt, boy. No, you know. But it's like, and then they say, what are you doing? And they see the badge, and they're like, oh, wow, you're a cop now? No, I'm not a cop. But I'm a chaplain. Can I pray for you? Like, wow. Wow. Man, we were on the yard just some years back doing dirt. And now you want to pray for me? Pretty crazy. Then they start saying, oh, he's a Christian now. He's a pastor now. As if it's a bad thing. No, it's an awesome thing. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Give the Lord praise for that. That's awesome. We should be praising God for that. And so, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Now, an awesome thing that we have here, guys, is this, is that there is going to come a day where the Lord is going to deal with all this. When you're suffering and you're going through what you're going through, listen, the Lord's going to deal with it. If somebody has wronged you, don't harbor that unforgiveness in your heart as to think that, oh, okay, you know what? I'm just going to ignore them. I'm not going to pray for them. I'm not going to do anything for them. That should teach them that lesson. No, you're only doing damage to yourself. The Lord will take care of that. You just seek the Lord. Why? Because not only will they be judged according to their bad deeds, but the Bible says that we have to give an account also. 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible made it very clear as to what we're building with. And guess what? We're going to find out what sort of work it was, because the Bible is very clear. Christ has fire in his eyes, man. It's going to be judged by fires. It's going to melt away, and you're going to realize it's going to burn, and you're going to realize this is what I was building with the entire time. Listen, if there's ever a time, men, for us to be men that God has called us to be, not be good churchgoers, okay? But men that God has called us to be, men that don't have a problem. I looked earlier when I was eating over there, and it blew me away because I seen two men praying over here. And I says, man, that's what is needed. Men praying for one another, encouraging one another. Look at verse 7 with me. So he says here that they need to have this right attitude. But here, notice what he says. But the end of all things is at hand. We know that, right? It's even more so now in our day. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. How many of you men here, without raising your hand, answer this on your own, have a prayer life? Because let me tell you something. I'm not talking about these little jackrabbit prayers when you're driving to work or you're driving somewhere in the morning. I'm talking about a prayer life where you literally take time and talk to the Lord. Yeah, that's needful. I do that. I just talk to the Lord. I thank him for his goodness and his faithfulness, that he's awesome in power and in might. I thank him for my wife and my children. I thank him for saving me and deliver. I thank him for his word. I thank him for his Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We couldn't do what we do if it were not for the Spirit of the living God in us. What an awesome thing that we have, this open communication with God. If you do not take advantage of that, something is wrong. And the enemy will do everything he can to hinder that. To hinder that. And above all things, he says, have fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, minister to one another. Notice what he's saying. If you received a gift, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, that the Spirit distributes each gift accordingly as he wills. And what does that mean? It means the Spirit of God in you will equip you. And as he's given you a gift, the Bible is saying here in 1 Peter 4, he says, listen, go and minister. And all of us have a gift that the Spirit of the Lord has given us to advance the kingdom, to glorify God, to bring praise to his name. And listen, you might not all be called to be pastors or teachers, but the Lord has gifted you. Read the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Read that. Read the order of the gifts and how they're to be exercised. But all of us have a gift. We're to glorify God with it. We're to minister to one another with it. As good stewards, I want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability, as with the abilities. Let him also do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Everything that God is, guys, listen, in the midst of our struggles, let's say it, in the midst of the things that we go through, God's given us these things, listen, so that he can get the glory. And truly he is. When I go and I speak to these places, I do invocations for Congress people. It's the only time I wear a suit besides funerals and weddings. But I go there and I'm just like kind of sweating, all nervous, like, man, you know. And I go up there and I tell them, hey, I'll pray, but I gotta say the name Jesus Christ. You know, one time they told me not to. And they said, you could pray, but don't. No, nothing about Jesus Christ. It'll offend people. We don't want people to be offended here. So I said, okay. So I prayed this awesome prayer. You know, I thought it was cool, you know. And then in the end, I was praying loud. And then I just got real soft. And I says, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the guy was like, what was it? I says, well, I said it soft and low so nobody would get offended. But I still prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. So now they know that if they call me to pray, I got to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Mark number verse 12 here and write it down in your heart. Listen, how many of you have ever said this? Think about, just please think with me for a moment. How many of you have ever said this? Why am I going through this? Because you haven't read 1 Peter 4:12. Don't think it strange. What I tell the people at our fellowship, because it's kind of the terminology we use down there, is like, don't trip. Don't trip. When you're going through it, don't sit there and think like, why? Don't ask why. The Bible says, listen, it's going to happen. They're going to come. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. A day is going to come, guys, listen, when we see Jesus face to face, listen, and everything we've gone through and everything we've endured, we're going to rejoice with the Lord. We're not going to go to him. We're not going to say, it was tough. It was, I'm so glad you're here. No, we're going to rejoice. It was all worth it. All the tears, all the pain, all the sorrow, it was all worth it. When we see him, we're going to know it was all worth it. And that day is going to come. I hope it comes today. I hope on the way back to the house, boom, we're gone. I pray. I ask that. Lord, I want to see you. Everybody got these pictures of you. That's not him. You know, some people have gotten offended with me. You know, they're just like, you know, I got this picture. I go, that ain't Jesus, man. That's not him. That's a weird picture of some dude that I don't know, man. You know, and the eyes follow you and everything. You know, when you walk. That's the scary, man. That's a scary picture of Jesus. Us Mexicans, we call the scary things cucuy. I said, that's a cucuy. You know, that's not Jesus, man. Like, well, the Bible doesn't give us a description of what Jesus looks like. Why? Because what would we do? We would draw pictures like that and we would start to worship him. I can't wait to see Jesus. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know. But I'm not moved by trying to figure out what he looks like. I know he's in me. The word promises it. And one day I will see him. John, 1 John 3:2, we don't know what we will become. We don't know what we're becoming. But when we see him, when we behold him, we know we're going to be just like him. Think about that. Is that not radical, guys? You should walk out of here this morning like, I'm going to look like him. You know, some of us try to look like actors, man. Stop that. Try to look like Jesus. Try to look like Jesus. As we close, the Bible says in verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he has blasphemed, but on your part, or he has blasphemed, and on your part, he is glorified. The world is going to reject, but that shouldn't stop us from going and sharing. Let God be glorified. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep pushing. Keep moving forward, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. What is he saying? Suffer for the Lord in verse 14. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. In other words, suffer for Christ, but don't suffer for the flesh. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him be not ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, guys, let's say that it begins with us first. You can't go and tell somebody, hey, get it right with God, if you haven't gotten it right with God. What do you mean, Pastor Dave? You can't go and try to tell somebody they need to be in their word if you haven't even read your word at all that day. That's why we got to be always armed and equipped and ready. For the time has come for the judgment to begin in the house of God. If it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him. That word commit, guys, listen, I want you, if you can circle it. It's only used one other time in the original language, and that's in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, where Jesus said on the cross, Father, I commit my spirit to you. The word here, commit, listen, literally means as one would entrust a good, trustworthy friend. He says here, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Why? Because God is faithful. Amen? Real quick, before we close, I want to do something. I don't want you to bow your head, close your eyes, but I do want you to stand to your feet if this is you. Pastor Dave, I feel challenged. I feel challenged to get in my word. I feel challenged to be a man of prayer. I feel challenged to rejoice in these trials. I feel challenged to not condemn myself because I keep faltering and blowing it. I feel challenged to seek God more today than I did yesterday. Might not be all of you. It might be one of you. It might be some of you. But if that's you, the Holy Spirit has just challenged you. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray with you. God bless you. Anyone else? Amen. 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 As we are standing here, guys, listen, as we're standing here, what is needed. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4 and then there with Cornelius and his household? Listen, there was this outpouring of the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. And they received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed into them there in John chapter 20. But then they got this overflowing and the power of the Holy Spirit to go and do the work of the ministry. And then again, they got it again. Peter asked for it again and got it again. Listen, we need to pray every day, Lord, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh and fill me anew. I need it. Don't think that one infilling is enough. I need more. I need more and more and more, because we can all agree here. Listen, there is a battle and our flesh sometimes does get the best of us and we don't feel very spiritual. That's why we need to pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to pray that with you this morning. I want to pray that. I want to pray because what I believe today, that I believe the word that needs to go out to the church is revival. Let me tell you something. Revival begins in the heart, and it begins when the Holy Spirit now impacts that heart. And guess what? You realize right there that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord. You're going to be facing some interesting circumstances the second you leave this morning. But listen, you look at that circumstance and you say, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. Thus saith you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up my brothers here. I pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would impart, God, that you would pour out afresh. Your word is faithful, God. It is truth. Your spirit, Lord, enables us and gives us the power to go forth. And Lord, we need a fresh touch this morning. We need you. We don't need our abilities. We don't need our intellect. We don't need our understanding. We don't even need our complacency and us being comfortable. We need you. Lord, it is you that we need. God, fill us, we ask. Lord, I pray for an outpouring on marriages this morning, an outpouring in singleness, an outpouring, Lord, in business matters and how we conduct ourselves, Lord, and how we talk, Lord, and the things that we do. God, I pray that Jesus, you are the center and nothing else. God, be glorified today. We love you. Fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
You have just heard a recording from the Refuge Men's Breakfast. For more information about the men's ministry, please contact us at 714-891-9495 or log on to refugefamily.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you walk with and serve Him today.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.